Our words today come from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And what I think you're going to notice after you hear the reading of this scripture, and you heard it with the children's message this morning, and then also with our opening reading from the 23rd Psalm, the message today is really centered around what it means to be a shepherd, about shepherding, about how the sheep know the sound of the master's voice, and how the shepherd is charged with caring for the sheep, because the sheep can't always do it on their own. And so the lectionary today pretty much had everything tied together on what it means to be a shepherd. So now I invite you to hear this gospel according to John from the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep will follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will turn from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who come before me, who came before me, are thieves and bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you think just for a minute about what the characteristics of our sheep, you'll notice that they're kind of timid animals, gentle animals, generally carefree. A lot of people view them kind of as a simple animal. They depend on each other. And they also depend on a shepherd or a farmer or a pet owner. They depend on somebody to take care of them. They have to have a caretaker to make sure that their needs are met, because they're pretty simple and they may not know they need to move from here to here to get more food or to get out of the weather or whatever the case is. But they need some assistance getting by each day. Now at times, sheep can be a little disobedient. If you've ever dealt with sheep, you know they're kind of stubborn sometimes, that they don't always want to listen. But generally, with a little persuading, gentle prodding, some leading, they'll go about and do what you are asking them to do or what you're trying to do for them. And where one goes, generally the others follow. If you see, if there's a multiple sheep out in the field, then they're generally are going to be together. They're going to be together because they have that community going on. But we also know that they're vulnerable to attack because they really have no means of defending themselves. And so they're pretty vulnerable to attack. And the reason I describe what sheep are like is because we have heard that. We heard it with the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." We heard it with the Gospel of John, chapter 10, about how the sheep know the name or know the voice of their master, and also how the sheep are vulnerable. I share that because that really sounds a lot like children. When you think about how children are, it really sounds a lot like children. That they need all of this help, they need this prodding, they need this direction, they need this structure. And when I say that, I say it in a broad sense, that we all, everyone who is sitting in here, everyone in this world, everyone in this community and in our families, every one of us are God's children. We're all children of a mighty God, children of the Heavenly Father. Indeed, brothers and sisters, the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. Because if you think about it, for the most part, our needs are pretty simple of what we absolutely have to have. Now, when you think of our lives from a perspective of what we want to have or what we think we have to have, then that's when it gets complicated. But what we really need is pretty simple. So we're kind of like those sheep. And we can be disobedient, don't you think? I think that we're capable of being pretty disobedient of going to where we're not supposed to, crossing over into the wrong pasture, doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing. We get out of line, and we need the help of our shepherd to get us back into line. Or we need to listen to those around us, kind of like the others in the flock can help steer us back in a straight line. Sometimes we need to be still and know that God is God and listen to God. But then at times we also need to listen to our brothers and sisters to walk this journey of life with us, that when they say, you probably shouldn't be doing that, well, there's probably a good reason that they're sharing that. But sometimes it can be a challenging task for us to come back more in line with where we should be, because I think we're probably more stubborn than sheep. Now, as I say this, this does not give you permission to go out and tell your spouse or to tell your kids that you're more stubborn than a sheep. But the truth is, we can be pretty hard-headed. We know that. We can be hard-headed. But as human beings, we've got a tendency to be set in our ways. We have a tendency to go places we shouldn't go. And more often than not, those places that we shouldn't be, we have followed somebody else there. So it's kind of like that sheep in the pasture that says, oh, that grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, I'm going to go over there. Well, then here, two or three more sheep follow them over there, and next thing you know, they're somewhere they shouldn't be. And as human beings, I think that we have that same tendency, that we can go those places we shouldn't be. We could be sitting at ball games every Sunday morning instead of coming to church. We could be sitting in a bar every night instead of spending time with our family. We could be worshiping money instead of worshiping God. We could be committing other sins that we should be staying away from instead of spending time in the Scripture, because, well, such and such did it, so it's bound to be okay if I do it, because I'm hanging out with them. I think it was last week or the week before, we had talked about how when we're around people that do certain things, we're more likely to pick up those behaviors, whether it be drinking or drugs or cussing or being unfaithful, that when we're around those type of people, we're more likely to pick up those type of behaviors. That's really the dynamic of a flock of sheep, that what one does, the other tends to do. And so if we're together as a community, we're together as a flock, as a herd, as a group, whatever you want to call us, then we're likely to pick up some of the characteristic of the other members of our group. So what we have to be careful of is those human desires and wants, because they make us more vulnerable to the attacks that we hear the Gospel of John share with us this morning. In our reading, we heard that the one who sneaks over the wall rather than going through the front door or through the gate is a thief or a robber. Now the key here is the one who is sneaky, the one who uses trickery. Somebody who lacks good intentions. Kind of like if you get a visitor at your house at 4 o'clock in the morning when you're in bed, they're probably not there to tell you God loves you. They probably are there to do some kind of harm to you. And it's the same thing with a lot of other things. The one who comes any way other than the direct route. And that's what Jesus is talking about this morning. Is there's no doubt who the gatekeeper is. Jesus is the gatekeeper. And Jesus is going to walk right through that front door. Jesus is not going to be sneaky in the way that he does anything. So the Lord makes sure that our needs are met and makes sure that we have the food, the water, makes sure that we're fed, our spirituality is fed, and makes sure that we have that community. But we open ourselves up for those attacks because of our wants and our needs. And it happens when our will is not consistent with the Lord's. Our will, our desires, our ambitions may actually be founded in the ills of greed, of lust, of money, and of power. And what happens is that those things may change what we believe or what we are willing to believe. And at times we then justify our wrongs because we confuse them with what our true needs are. And if you think about what it is that we experience in life, and we can justify just about anything. I mean, it might be that, well, we need more money, or we're having some bad situation in our life, so we can justify most anything with our rational thoughts, because human beings are capable of rationalizing anything. I mean, if you've heard the stories from, well, your kids, for example, and think back when you were a kid, when you did something wrong, you had an excuse for it. You could always justify it. Now, it may not make sense to anybody else, but you could always justify it. I heard some stories this morning from Angel on some stuff that I'm like, wow, it's nowhere close to being the truth, but that's a pretty good story. And she put a lot of thought process into trying to justify why she had done what she had done. And then I think of the times that I've gotten in trouble, whether it be with something with my wife or something at work or something with my family, I can come up with some pretty good excuses. And I think we're all pretty good at it, I mean, because we're rational thinkers. But the problem, though, I mean, and on a small level, that stuff's kind of funny. But when it gets more serious, that, well, you know what, I don't get paid enough at work, so if I add an extra zero to this check that I'm writing out for my company to reimburse me for something, then that's okay. Or I don't have enough money to take care of my family, so if I lie a little bit on my income taxes, I'll get more money back at the end of the year. Or if there's a deal that's too good to be true, oh man, there's a flat screen 150-inch TV that I've been wanting there on the side of the road, and they're only wanting $75 for it. Man, I can afford that. Come on. Where's that from? Where's that $75 TV from? I don't even know that they make 150-inch, but the point is there's some deals that are too good to be true, and we know it when we're doing it, and how are we going to rationalize it? Well, I didn't know it was stolen. I mean, come on. I mean, $75 for a TV, there's something wrong with that. And so that's that trickery, that temptation that I'm warning you about and that the Scripture is warning us about, is that evil doesn't come through the front door. The one who seeks to do you wrong does not come through the front door. The gatekeeper stands at the front door. Everything else, the thieves, the robbers, will come around the back or come in through trickery, or they'll come in at another way. It might be that idol that represents a problem. If we idolize money and we worship money because we work all the time and we don't want to spend time with our family because we think it's too important to make money, then it's not going to be a surprise when you wake up one day and your family is, you don't know them. And so that's that trickery that has come in that is being warned. The drug dealer doesn't walk up to a kid the first time and say, kid, I want you to start using this crack cocaine because it's going to make your life miserable. You're going to become addicted to the drug. You're going to spend every dime that you've got on this crack cocaine, and you'll never be happy in life, and nobody will want to be around you. Here, why don't you try it? And by the way, pay me $10 for it. You think that's a pretty good selling point to get somebody started on drugs? Absolutely not. But they start off like, you know what, here, try this. This will make you happy. It'll make you feel good. You're not going to have any worries in the world. And I'll give it to you free these first couple of times. If you like it, we can talk later about buying. Let me sell it to you. I'd like to sell some to you. But I think after you try it, you're really going to like it. And I'm doing this because I like it. Now, does that sound like a better story than the first one? Now, what happened with the evil? Did it come in the front door or the back door there? It just came in the back door. The gatekeeper's at the front. The gatekeeper is the truth. The gatekeeper is Jesus Christ and the relationship that we have. And then the back door is that evil that we talk about. And the intention of this evil is to separate us from the love of God, the separation from the loving relationship with God. And the common denominator is Satan. He is that thief. He's that robber who comes in through the other means. He's the one that uses that trickery. And he's the one that knows that he can't beat God with a direct approach, so he's going to try to do it with an approach on the backside. But we know, we've heard, we've believed, we've experienced that the true shepherd comes through the gate and he stands at the gate. And a shepherd is caring, is loving, and is thoughtful, and is committed. And a shepherd is willing to lay down their life for the lives of the sheep. This morning we've read that the true sheep who hear the voice come to him because they recognize the shepherd. They understand who the shepherd is. The shepherd calls his sheep by name and he walks with them rather than creating that separation. And we've said it and we'll say it again. The Lord indeed is our shepherd. He has given us life that we may have eternal life. His voice is recognized by all those who follow him if we will simply be still and listen. We heard the children this morning to share with the children how a dog will become if it's called by his name. Well, we as the sheep of a risen Savior, will we go to him when we're called? And I would dare say that we will, but we have to listen. Whenever I talk about the 23rd Psalm, I try to put things into perspective. I never just share it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I never just share it that way. I share it, the Lord is my shepherd, and I am his sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, to be still and know that I am God. He leadeth me beside still waters for peace and tranquility. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, for his will and his purpose. And so when I think about that, it reminds me that I have to slow down and let God be God. And I have to hear God. If I'm going to follow God, if I'm going to follow the shepherd, then I have to hear the shepherd. But at times we're so busy or focused on our own needs that we fail to see where the shepherd is calling us. Our Savior walks with us, yet at times we still try to walk alone. We have to slow down and let God be God. Today we also celebrate Mother's Day. And I add this because when I read this scripture, I have to think about what it is that mothers, most mothers, are willing to do. Think about how they model the love of Jesus Christ, how most mothers and mother figures model the love of Jesus Christ in their lives. They model an unconditional love. A mother tends to children who are simple and loving, but they get out of line and she's got to get them back in line. She tends to children by understanding they are defenseless in this world, so she protects them. A mother knows what's best for her kids and tries to help them avoid making the mistakes that they've made, and also to do those things that are helpful. Wash your hands, don't go to the bathroom alone in public, lock your door, wear your seatbelt, and don't do that because it's not safe. Mothers try to teach us from right and wrong by echoing the message of the Scripture and sharing the love of Christ with their children. And mothers are caring and thoughtful and committed, and they're willing to lay down their life for their children. And she walks with her children rather than being apart from them. Her calming voice stills the fear that they may have, and children know her voice. And we hear the Scriptures this morning talking about how Jesus Christ loves us so much that he does these things for us. I think it's only fitting on Mother's Day that we acknowledge an unconditional love that most mothers have offered and mother figures have offered to their children. So today we praise God for the gifts of mothers. But brothers and sisters, in closing, remember this. The Lord is our shepherd and he is our gate, and all that come must go through him. And he is the only way. There's but one way in. Be in acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and receive the pardon for your sin. Recognize him as the gate. Recognize him as the light, as the way, and as the shepherd. And understand that he will never leave us, and the world cannot separate us from him. For our Savior loves us. Our Savior will give us abundant life, a full life, and a life eternal. Life in Christ is not about being scattered as a flock or a herd or whatever you want to call it. It's not about a scattering of believers, but it's about living in a community designed by God. It's about living at a higher level because of the overflowing love and forgiveness and guidance offered to us by a perfect shepherd. And indeed, brothers and sisters, we do serve the good shepherd. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.